was.
What it was.
And will be today again.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. It is Wednesday, July the 9th, 2003. We shouldn't be here. And at this time, I'm going to open up a public hearing with a full committee with a quorum present for House Bill 3322 related to unemployment compensation.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3322, for the record, my name is Cindy Jones. House Bill 3322 eliminates the one-week waiting period for the apprentices before they can collect unemployment benefits. In front of you, you should have gotten a staff measure summary, a minimal fiscal impact statement, and a copy of the bill.
So that's it.
That's what I have. And
we have supporters of the bill here. Come on up. We heard this would be one of the most difficult bills for this year.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Steve March, state representative from District 46 in the center of Portland. This is a good bill. I do want to note that there were three no votes on it in committee, but that was because they were trying to turn it away from Ways and Means because of the minimal fiscal impact, not because of the merits of the bill, and they do support the bill, I'm told. So with that, I'll turn it over to Bob Shiprack from Building Trades.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee. I'm Bob Shiprack. I'm representing the Oregon Building and Construction Trades Council. I want to give you a very short history. Over the years, labor management have been working on this type of statute. Congress some time ago recognized that there are certain training programs that they chose to exempt those folks from not being able to draw unemployment insurance, and apprenticeship was one of those. And then going way back, Senator L.B. Day, I don't remember what year it was, frankly, put that in the Oregon statutes. And so right now, certain apprentices governed by certain committees, what they do is they come to school a week at a time. They're usually the smaller committees that have statewide jurisdiction, like I think the Carpenters are one, Ed's here, although they're a pretty big committee, but asbestos workers, cement masons, bricklayers. The state and federal rules require that all apprentices attend at least 144 hours every year of what I call classroom training. They actually come into a classroom and they're taught or they study math, science, the building code, safety things like that that you don't really have the time to and properly do on the job. So they come into the training center probably four times, sometimes five times a year for a week at a time. They're put up at hotels and then during the day for 8 hours a day they go to class. For those weeks other than their first waiting week for unemployment, the law already exempts them. I shouldn't say exempts them. They can draw their unemployment while they're going to school, except for the waiting week. And to be honest with you, I don't know why I didn't include the waiting week when we passed these bills in the past, but I just didn't think you could do it, so I asked employment. They go, yeah, you can. So that's why the bill's here. I just want to leave you with one thought and why we're doing this. It is a tremendous financial hit to someone to go into apprenticeship school. I got to tell you, and to lose work like that, to go to school, oftentimes we take wage cuts to go into apprenticeship school. The classes run anywhere from 3 to 5 years of apprenticeship. Unlike traditional community college, a lot of the folks we have an apprenticeship or are married with kids. The average age is not 18 or 19 years old. It's well into the 20s. So when you lose work to go to a required training class that you have to go to, it's really a financial burden. doesn't affect a lot of people. This bill doesn't affect all the committees, a few. It doesn't affect everybody, because if you're already laid off, it's moot. I made sure that we did not socialize these costs. It's something I've personally objected to for a long time, about socializing unemployment insurance costs across all employers. This is paid for by the employers that employ the apprentices only. And they agree to that. They believe they will step up, and they have, and paid for the unemployment, while their workers are going to required classroom training. So if you have any questions, I'll try and answer, but that's what the bill does.
Was there March? Thank you. I see your name here on this bill.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Ed Glad. I'm with the Pacific Northwest Regional Council of Carpenters. I think one other little bit that Bob didn't include in his testimony is that the population of workers that are in the construction industry is aging. The population overall is aging to participate in these construction jobs. And because of that, those that enter into the apprenticeship programs really have a need to diversify their skills that are not on-the-job skills. So there's a lot of technology that's coming online that is laser technology that's mathematically based, that you can learn by the seat of your pants to a certain degree, but getting into the classroom and making sure that you are certified in the technologies that are available is radically important for the industry. And because of the aging process, or, you know, the population in the construction industry getting older, the demand from the contractors to be able to have a fuller workforce that has all of these technical skills really has made all of the crafts shift their emphasis towards training. So in order to support these training programs, to be able to tell apprentices on the job, look, you are going to go in and you are going to get certified, you know, in these technologies. And the apprentice looks back and says, yeah, but I'm also going to lose a week of work. And how am I going to do that? Currently, the carpenters, apprentices from Klamath Falls and Coos Bay to Portland for some of the technical classes that aren't available downstate. From Medford, oftentimes, that some of the classes are only offered in Portland. We are expanding our opportunities to move our trainers further out. In fact, we're installing a new training center here in Salem as we speak. But ultimately, the cooperation of the contractors in our industry to say, as Bob indicated, you know, to say, we want this. We are willing to pay for this. This is not something that we would balk at all, but to ensure that our workforce is fully trained in these technologies that are coming online and the materials that are now available that really need direct training that comes in a classroom is a great advantage. And this bill, I think, helps move that workforce along. So with that.
Any questions?
Thank you
very much. Is there anyone else who would like to testify during the public hearing on House Bill? Oh. Tamara and Don. See if I'd clean my glasses once in a while, I'd be able to see that.
Chair George, member of the committee, for the record, my name is Tamara Brickman. I'm the legislative coordinator for the Oregon Employment Department, and we don't necessarily have much to add. This has very minimal fiscal. The only fiscal that you might see on the impact statement is that it'll involve about $7,000 worth of programming costs for our information technology folks. And the other thing, too, that I just might add to this is that this eliminates the waiting week period while a person is attending a training program. But should that individual, once they are no longer in that training program, still be unemployed, they would serve their waiting week at that point in time. So what it does really is defer the waiting week period.
I was just one of those people when I saw this morning as a 29-year veteran counselor at PCC. When apprentices have to do something, they'd always complain about this. Bob needs to be spanked because this is way years overdue. It really is. It's a good bill. And Senator Dukes and I were just talking. It's amazing how people who bring good things to the legislature are so exact with their information and work hard to bring it to us. And this was a bill I personally could have walked in and just voted for without your explanation, really.
Okay, so just Don, would you like standing, or we're ready to go to a work session?
No, Senator George, I have nothing to say.
Okay.
Don't spoil it.
No, yeah, don't. You know, right now, I think you guys, I'm a little nervous. If we have it, let's go.
I bring them along in case I get any hard questions asked.
And so I already did this and got you up here once earlier. So thank you guys very much. I'm going to close the public hearing with the tap of the gavel. We'll be opening a work session on House Bill 3322.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Dukes.
I'll move House Bill 3322 to full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Dukes has moved House House Bill 3322 to full committee with a due pass. Any further discussion?
I'm not getting in front of this train.
Now, would you get in front of
this? It's strange that we're here doing this.
Without objection, I think we're pretty safe there. Seeing or hearing no objection, bill will be sent full as me. All right, carriers. Oh, I was going to say that. Maybe some. Okay. I would be happy to carry it. But Marley was talking about
you. Having you carry it was a labor problem. That's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
Hey, yeah. I'm a better friend than these guys think I am.
Oh,
which one
do
you feel?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm there. Okay, I'm there.
Before we get out of here, I'm
going to
make my tips.
Okay. Fit. Oh, wait a minute. We have a quorum.
We were talking about the Lewis and Clark train.
Oh, yeah.
And you all said that you'd like to help with our operating expenses.
That's right.
This is the poster. It's a beautiful thing. Up at the bottom, you can see the old Lewis and Clark, you know, making the trip, and then you've got the train and the thing. They're $10 a piece.
Okay. So we need to go get money.
Yes. Get money? All right. Okay.